بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ما بعد. Respected elders, your brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. If you can please ask the brothers to come forward and fill in the gaps. Jazakumullah. If you sit as we are sitting in salah, then that way we can fit in more people, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, every day we pass by so many objects and substances that are dangerous for our health, that can harm us in different ways. But we don't interact with them, and alhamdulillah, we stay safe. You know, if you think about your day from beginning to end, how many times and how many instances there are in which we find ourselves in situations, or we are close to something which can cause us tremendous harm, but nothing happens, alhamdulillah, we remain safe. Similarly, there are so many organisms around us, viruses and bacteria and so many other types of things that can harm us, that we interact with unknowingly. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us through different means, and they have no effect on us, or they have very little effect on us. But if a person finds themselves surrounded by dangerous substances and organisms that are very high in number, then what happens? Their chances of getting harmed goes up. Their likelihood of getting harmed by one of those things increases. Similarly, we pass by so many things each day that can affect our iman or lead us to commit disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't interact with those things and we remain safe, alhamdulillah. We get exposed to some undesirable things, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects our hearts and our minds, and it doesn't have a significant impact on our iman, alhamdulillah. But my brothers and sisters, as we find ourselves surrounded by actions and beliefs that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that go against the teachings of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and indeed all of His Messengers alayhi salatu wa sallam, the chances of those things damaging our spiritual health goes up. So the point is to say that the environment around us poses risks to us depending on what is found in that environment. The more ma'asiyah there is, the more dhulm there is, the more disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and oppression and sin there is around us, we have to be more and more alert, because the likelihood goes up that we may end up getting stung somehow, and it might end up affecting negatively our iman in impacting our hearts and minds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. We know, my brothers and sisters, that every adult human being, and by adult we don't mean over 18, by adult we mean Islamically an adult, a person who is Islamically mature, has to deal with this trial or the trials of their nafs and shaitan. This is something which is part of living in this dunya, in this life, and especially in the times that we live in right now. We know that our nafs by default, so our inner self, our inner desires, are inclined towards evil, except the nafs that is rectified by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we recite in the Quran, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحْمَ رَبِّي. So the nafs is by default inclined towards evil, to command that which is evil, that which is sinful, except through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts, our souls. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a nafs which is pure and which is sound, which is mutma'inna, and that leads us to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead. Now we know, my brothers and sisters, and we've discussed this, that shaitan uses various traps and tricks to get us, and whispers ideas into our hearts and our minds. And he makes the ugly appear tempting and beautified. That which is ugly, that which is hollow, that which is rotten, It makes it appear as something good, something tempting, something which is beautified. Today, my brothers and sisters, I want to share with you quickly the process of sin. When is an action considered a sin, and when do we become accountable for it? And this is a very important discussion. So first of all, know that there are primarily two types of actions. A'malul qulub, which are the actions of the heart, and the physical actions, or the actions of the body. When we talk about the actions of the heart, these are the actions that are done within oneself. That are done within oneself, and even if they are not expressed, even if they are not verbalized, even if they are not shown outwardly, one will be held to account for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask people with regards to the actions of the heart. So what are we talking about? We're talking about, for example, belief, iman. We're talking about taqwa. We're talking about, so belief, we're talking about the reverent fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're talking about, for example, yaqeen, conviction, ikhlas, sincerity, tawakkul, reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, khawf, fear, raja, hope, sabr, patience, shukr, gratefulness, you know, and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the people and the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to love, and there are more. Okay, so these all have to do with the heart. Even if they are not expressed verbally, or they are not expressed outwardly, they are in here, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may very well ask us about those things. And also, kufr, disbelief, nifaq, hypocrisy, hasad, right, envy, jealousy, all of these things reside here inside the heart. And even if we don't express it, act upon it, these things will be asked about by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The actions of the heart indicate the state of the spiritual heart, which guides the action of, or the actions of the body. So the actions of the heart indicate, or a symbol or a signal of, the state of the spiritual heart. And that in turn guides the actions of the body, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that ala wa inna fil jasadi mudghah, that verily in the body is a piece of flesh. Idha salahat salahal jasadu kullu. If it is sound, then the entire body is sound. Wa idha fasadat fasadal jasadu kullu. And if it is corrupt, then the entire body is corrupt. Ala wa hiya al-qalb. Indeed, truly it is the heart. So the spiritual heart is the center or the root of all the actions. If this is sound, then the actions that outwardly come from the body will also be sound. But if the heart is corrupted, if the heart is compromised, then the actions that will result will also be compromised and will also be corrupted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify our hearts. Ameen. Secondly, we have the actions of the body, which are done physically, that involve the limbs and the organs, or the organs of the body, that involve the body parts. These actions, when they are good, they count before they are even done. They matter even before they are even done. But if they are bad, they count only when they are done. And this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated or transmitted it from Rabbu Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, from the Lord, from His Lord, the Blessed and the Great Lord, that verily Allah recorded the good and the evil. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear that if someone intends to do a good deed and he does not do it, so if someone makes the intention, plans to do a good deed, and then they do not do it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write for them a full good deed in their account with Him. This person has not done the good deed. They only planned it. They only intended it, but they were not able to do it. They get one full, complete good deed. And if they intend to do a good deed, and then they actually carry it out, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write for them in His account with Him from 10 to 700 times to many more times. See, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? You intend to do it, you don't do it. You made the niyyah to come for Fajr, you were not able to wake up and come to the masjid for Salat al-Fajr, you get the reward. Right? You intended to do something good, to recite Qur'an, you intended to help someone, to give charity, but you were not able to do it, you get the reward just because you planned it and you intended it. But if you actually do it, then you get 10 to 700 times or even more in reward, inshallah. If someone intends to do a bad deed and they do not do it, okay, so fairness would be what? That if you intend to do a good deed and you don't do it, you get rewarded for it, right? If you intend to do a bad deed and you don't do it, you still get the bad deed. That would be fairness, right? That would be equal. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is favoring us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tilting, you know, the scale in our favor to help us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if somebody intended to do a bad deed and he does not do it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write a full good deed in his account. Subhanallah. Intended to do a bad deed, not a good deed, a bad deed, but he held back and he did not do it, he gets a good deed for that. And if he intended to do a bad deed and actually carried it out, actually did it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write one single bad deed in his account. So brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is so vast that even the recording of the good and the bad deeds is tilted in our favor. Right? We want fairness in everything. We want fairness in everything, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually being more than fair towards us. Right? But what we learn is that clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have good intentions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to want, to desire, to plan to do good deeds, and to stay away from bad and evil deeds. And every step we take towards doing good, even if we do not do it, is rewarded. And every step that we take, staying away from evil, staying away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is also rewarded. Right? So if you find yourselves in times of fitan, of trials and tribulations, of sin, of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're able to protect yourself and you're able to stay away from it, even in that struggle, in that mujahada, there is a great reward for you, inshaAllah. Now my brothers and sisters, this point here is very important, because know that a person is not a sinner until they commit a sin. A person who desires to drink alcohol is not a drinker until they do the action. A person who desires to gamble is not a gambler until they gamble. A person who desires to commit zina is not a zani until they have committed the action. A person who desires to have a romantic relationship with someone who they are not permitted to have it with is not one who is in such a relationship until they start that relationship. A person who desires to see something haram is not a person who looks at lewd and obscene material until they actually do it. A person who desires to do any bodily action that is haram is still safe from that sin until they actually commit that sin. And even after they have committed that sin, the doors of forgiveness, of tawbah, are open from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person regrets what they have done, feels bad about it, is not justifying it, is not conceitfully proud about it, they seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also forgive them after they have committed the act. So subhanAllah, if you think about it, a person who desires any of these things which I have described, instead of getting sins for wanting to do the action, for wanting to do something haram, they will actually receive good deeds for not acting upon their desires. SubhanAllah. Right? So a person is not sinful for desiring or for having these temptations or struggling with these temptations. And instead, they can actually be earning many good deeds simply by staying away from these desires and these temptations. Now, my brothers and sisters, there are many types of trials and tribulations in the world today. And some of them have to do with shaitan beautifying the haram and making people feel like it is not haram and that committing the associated sins is natural. Right? This is part of some of the fitan that we are seeing in these times, and they have occurred in the past in different forms, but this is the big one today. This is a trap from shaitan. So know that each person is tested with different trials, and if you are being tried with this particular trial, then that is your test. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us all in different ways. So do not fall for the trap of shaitan to get you to not only to commit the associated sin. See, shaitan wants to take it for the whole nine yards. Shaitan wants to take it for the whole nine yards. Does not satisfy just with a little bit. He wants people to commit the associated sins, but then also to justify them as being okay, which is a sin of the heart. Right? There's a difference between doing something which is wrong and accepting that, yes, I committed a sin and I made a mistake, may Allah forgive me, versus saying that, no, this is not a sin at all. This is not forbidden at all. This is halal, right? Or making that which is haram and turning it into that which is halal. Okay, so this is a second sin on top of the original sin. So we have the sin of committing the actual act, right, doing the thing which is prohibited, then justifying it as being okay, and then on top of that, exposing it to the world with pride, which is another sin, to divulge a sin which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had hidden. So what do we have here? We have sin upon sin upon sin, even though the original idea or the thought or the feeling was not sinful if a person had not acted upon it. So this is what we are facing today, my brothers and sisters, and this is why we must be fully aware and cautious for ourselves and especially for our children, our youth, and explain this to them. You see, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu related regarding the verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, in the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is on the earth. And whether you disclose what is in yourselves, in your hearts, or you conceal it, whether you express it or you hide it, Allah will call you to account for it. Then He forgives whom He wills and punishes whom He wills, and Allah is able to do all things. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that when this verse was revealed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was very hard for the companions, for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So they came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they fell on their knees and they said, Ya Rasulullah, we were asked to perform what we can bear of deeds, the salat, the fasting, the jihad, the charity. And we did all of those things that we were able to bear. However, this ayah was revealed to you and we cannot bear it. We cannot bear it. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن تَقُولُوا كَمَا قَالَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابَيْنِ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. That you want to repeat what the people of the two scriptures, the people of the two books said before you, that is that we hear what Allah has said and we disobey. Rather, you should say, بَلْ قُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. Rather say, we hear and we obey and we seek your forgiveness, O our Lord, and the return is to you. So when the people accepted this statement, when the Sahaba accepted the statement and their tongues recited it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also revealed it as part of the Qur'an. When they did that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the following ayah, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَعَهَا. That Allah burdens not a person beyond their scope. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. He gets reward for that good which he has earned, and he is punished for that evil which he has earned. Ya Rabb, Rabbana, our Lord, punish us not if we forget or fall into error until the end of the ayah. Meaning, a person is not held to account for that which they have no control over or are not capable of. Right? So this put the companions, radiallahu anhum, at rest. They were able to, they became reassured, and it comforted them because they were worried that they were going to be taken to account what is inside their hearts and what they may be feeling and whatever is going on inside, which they are not acting upon, which does not have to do with the actions of the heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them to rest by saying, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. A person is not taken to task for something which is beyond their scope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden a person beyond their scope. So if you have no control over something, right, or you're not capable of something, then you are not responsible for it. So this verse clarifies the original verse, which said that وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِاللَّهِ. Whether you disclose it, what is in yourselves, or you conceal it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call you to account for it. Now Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu has also reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِأُمَّتِي عَمَّا لَمْ تَتَكَلَّمْ بِهِ أَوْ تَعْمَلْ بِهِ وَبِمَا حَدَّثَتْ بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمَا. Allah has ignored, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has overlooked for my community that which comes to their minds as long as they do not act upon or pronounce words to that effect. So whatever comes in our minds, in our hearts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will overlook that, will forgive that, as long as we do not act upon it or pronounce words with regards to it. So the thoughts, the feelings over which one has no control, and they occur naturally within us, or they come from shaitan, and we're not able to dismiss them, right? Sometimes we get thoughts, We get feelings. We're not able to control them. We are not held to account for that. Rather, we are accountable for actions. So actions by default are controllable, except in rare exceptions, rare circumstances. So the actions we are accountable for, that we are able to stop, that we are able to control ourselves from doing, but we choose to entertain them and to do them anyway. Those are the actions that we will be held to account for. And remember, my brothers and sisters, when we sacrifice our desires for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that act of sacrificing and leaving that which we want only for the sake of Allah also will not go unrewarded, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّكَ لَن تَدَعَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِلَّا بَدَّلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ. That verily you will never leave anything. Lan, right? So you will never leave anything for the sake of Allah Almighty, but that Allah will replace it with something better for you, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen each of us to withstand temptations and invitations towards evil. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our hearts and minds, and especially of our young people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all for our shortcomings. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We have some very sad news. So the passing of our dear brother, Dr. Ahmad Muniruddin, who was one of the pioneers of Canada's Muslim community. He returned to his Rabb, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on Wednesday at his home in Brampton, Ontario. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He founded KMA. He founded this organization in 2004 and started regular prayers in the basements of his home in Morgan's Grant. And he helped bring the community together through various programs and events, and organized Salatul Jum'ah and the Taraweeh prayers for our community at several locations throughout Canada. Someone, mashallah, tabarakallah, who was extremely committed, and mashallah, many of you brothers knew him. Someone who was very committed and determined to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of his efforts of sadaqa jariyah for him. We make dua, Allahumma aghfir lahu warhamhu وعافيه وعف عنه واكم نزله واسقه مدخله واغسله بماء والثلج والبرد ونقه من الخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الابيض من الدنس وابدله دارا خيرا من داره وابدله اهلا خيرا من اهله وادخله الجنه واعذه من عذاب القبر وعذاب النار. اللهم اجعل قبوره روضه من رياض الجنه يا رب العالمين. اللهم انزله منازل الصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن اولئك رفيقا. امين يا رب العالمين. سبحان الله. I think, when we make small efforts and we don't know where they're going to go, and we return, someone returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the work continues, and they have a share in every single good that occurs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it to him, and also make us those who also follow in the same way in establishing goodness wherever we go. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Ameen. Ya Rabbi.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu